Translation, verse 1 through 10. The removing of Gaza's gates by Samson. One day Samson went to the Philistine city of Gaza and spent the night with a prostitute. Verse 2. Word soon spread that Samson was there, so the men of Gaza gathered together and waited all night at the city gates. They kept quiet during the night, saying to themselves, quote, "When the light of morning comes, we will kill him," unquote. Verse 3. But Samson stayed in bed only until midnight. Then he got up, took hold of the city gate with its two posts, and lifted them, bar and all, right out of the ground. He put them on his shoulders and carried them all the way to the top of the hill across from Hebron. Samson and Delilah. Verse 4. Later Samson fell in love with a woman named Delilah, who lived in the valley of Sorek. Verse 5. The leaders of the Philistines went to her and said, quote, "Find out from Samson what makes him so strong, and how he can be overpowered and tied up securely. Then each of us will give you 1,100 pieces of silver," unquote. Verse 6. So Delilah said to Samson, quote, "Please tell me what makes you so strong, and what it would take to tie you up securely," unquote. Verse 7. Samson replied, quote, "If I am tied up with 7 new bowstrings that have not yet been dried, I will be as weak as anyone else," unquote. Verse 8. So the Philistine leaders brought Delilah 7 new bowstrings, and she tied Samson up with them. Verse 9. She had hidden some men in one of the rooms of her house, and she cried out, quote, "Samson!" exclamation mark. "The Philistines have come to capture you!" exclamation mark, unquote. But Samson snapped the bowstrings as if they were string that had been burned in a fire. So the secret of his strength was not discovered. Verse 10. Afterward, Delilah said to him, quote, "You made fun of me and told me a lie!" exclamation mark. "Now please tell me how you can be tied up securely," unquote. King James Version, verse 11. And he said unto her, "If they bind me fast with new ropes that never were occupied, then shall I be weak and be as another man."
He should have just told her, "Look, if this is God does not want me to divulge this, I serve God, and if you don't like it, there's the door." You know, really. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Except kept playing around with her. He was a kibitzer, you know. That's the kind of Jew he was. Yeah, Samson was a Jew. Amen.
Yeah.
Then what?
Verse 12. Delilah therefore took new ropes and bound him therewith and said unto him, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." And there were liers in wait abiding in the chamber. And he brake them from off his arms like a thread. Verse 13. And Delilah said unto Samson, "Hitherto thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Tell me wherewith thou mightest be bound." And he said unto her, "If thou weavest the 7 locks of my head with the web." Verse 14. And she fastened it with the pin, and said unto him, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." And he awaked out of his sleep, and went away with the pin of the beam, and with the web. Verse 15. And she said unto him, "How canst thou say, I love thee, when thy heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these 3 times, and hast not told me wherewith thy great strength lieth."
I would have said, "How can you say you love me if you're trying to get something from out of me that the Lord told me not to tell anyone?" All right, that would have been my answer. Then what else?
Verse 16. And it came to pass, when she pressed him daily with her words, and urged him, so that his soul was vexed unto death. Verse 17. That he told her all his heart, and said unto her, "There hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man." Verse 18. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, "Come up this once, for he hath showed me all his heart." Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand.
So she sold him out for money. That's it. Then what?
Verse 19, and she made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. Verse 20, and she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. Verse 21, but the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. Translation, verse 11 through 21. Samson replied, quote, if I am tied up with brand new ropes that have never been used, I will be as weak as anyone else, unquote. Verse 12. So Delilah took new ropes and tied him up with them. The men were hiding in the room as before, and again Delilah cried out, quote, Samson! Exclamation mark. The Philistines have come to capture you! Exclamation mark, unquote. But Samson snapped the ropes from his arms as if they were thread. Verse 13. Then Delilah said, quote, you have been making fun of me and telling me lies! Exclamation mark. Won't you please tell me how you can be tied up securely? Unquote. Samson replied, quote, if you weave the 7 braids of my hair into the fabric on your loom, tighten it with the loom shuttle, I will be as weak as anyone else. Unquote. So while he slept, Delilah wove the 7 braids of his hair into the fabric. Verse 14, and tightened it with the loom shuttle. Again she cried out, quote, Samson! Exclamation mark. The Philistines have come to capture you! Exclamation mark, unquote. But Samson woke up, pulled back the loom shuttle, and yanked his hair away from the loom and the fabric. Verse 15. Then Delilah pouted, quote, how can you say you love me and you don't confide in me? You made fun of me 3 times now, and you still haven't told me what makes you so strong! Exclamation mark, unquote. Verse 16. So day after day she nagged him until he couldn't stand it any longer. Verse 17. Finally Samson told her his secret. Quote, my hair has never been cut. He confessed, for I was dedicated to God as a Nazarite from birth. If my head were shaved, my strength would leave me, and I would become as weak as anyone else. Unquote. Verse 18. Delilah realized he had finally told her the truth. So she sent for the Philistine leaders. Quote, come back one more time, she said, for he has told me everything. Unquote. So the Philistine leaders returned and brought the money with them. Verse 19. Delilah lulled Samson to sleep with his head in her lap, and she called in a man to shave off his hair, making his capture certain. And his strength left him. Verse 20. Then she cried out, quote, Samson! Exclamation mark. The Philistines have come to capture you, unquote. When he woke up, he thought, quote, I will do as before and shake myself free, unquote. But he didn't realize the Lord had left him. Verse 21. So the Philistines captured him and gouged out his eyes. They took him to Gaza, where he was bound with bronze chains and made to grind grain in the prison.
Okay, let's just continue on with the translation here, so that we can, because the tape is long, and but it's good though, yeah. Right?
Right.
Because it's the word of God, right?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Verse 22. But before long, his hair began to grow back. Samson's final victory. Verse 23. The Philistine leaders held a great festival, offering sacrifices and praising their god Dagon. They said, quote, our God has given us victory over our enemy Samson! Exclamation mark, unquote. Verse 24. When the people saw him, they praised their God, saying, quote, our God has delivered our enemy to us! Exclamation mark. The one who killed so many of us is now in our power! Exclamation mark, unquote. Verse 25. Half drunk by now, the people demanded, quote, bring out Samson so he can perform for us! Exclamation mark, unquote. So he was brought from the prison and made to stand at the center of the temple between 2 pillars supporting the roof. Verse 26. Samson said to the servant who was leading him by the hand, quote, place my hands against the two pillars. I want to rest against them, unquote. Verse 27. The temple was completely filled with people. All the Philistine leaders were there, and there were about 3,000 on the roof who were watching Samson and making fun of him. Verse 28. Then Samson prayed to the Lord, quote, Sovereign Lord, remember me again. O God, please strengthen me one more time so that I may pay back the Philistines for the loss of my eyes. Unquote.
That right there shows you that it's just obedience to keep his hair long and stay away from the things that the Lord told him to stay away from is why God anointed him with the power to give him physical strength. And it wasn't his own strength. Unless the Lord came down upon him in the Spirit, he would have not been that strong. Okay, then what else?
Verse 29. Then Samson put his hands on the center pillars of the temple and pushed against them with all of his might. Verse 30, quote, Let me die with the Philistines, he prayed. And the temple crashed down on the Philistine leaders and all the people. So he killed more people when he died than he had during his entire lifetime. Verse 31. Later his brothers and other relatives went down to get his body. They took him back home and buried him between Zorah and Eshtaol, where his father Manoah was buried. Samson had been Israel's judge for 20 years.
All right, that was the 16th chapter of Judges, 31 verses. And now we got some commentary. Just do the do one page here. And
okay. 16 verse 1. Gaza was one of the five principal cities of the Philistines, located on the Mediterranean coast of southwest, what they call Palestine, which is really Israel. Harlot. Samson's physical strength enabled him to do exploits, but his ability to be able to choose a mate, a very bad moral weakness, led to his eventual destruction.
I forgot to put a moral weakness that theologians say, but it was not a moral weakness at all. It was just, otherwise God would never have anointed him. All right, then what? He was obeying what the Lord told him to do. Then what?
With the women that he married, that was a Philistine, and that was of the Lord. But going into a prostitute and getting involved with Delilah led to his eventual destruction.
Right, but he wasn't strong with Delilah, that's why. Okay, then what?
He married her. 16 verse 3. The hill that faces Hebron refers to an unknown hill in the direction of Hebron. 16 verse 4. The valley of Sorek begins about 13 miles west-southwest of Jerusalem, continuing in a northwesterly direction toward the Mediterranean. 16 verse 5. The lords of the Philistines, look at chapter 3, verse 3. 1,100 pieces of silver was an exorbitant amount of money, especially when compared with the amount of money that Micah received for his priestly duties, chapter 17, verse 10.
Right, like the inflation has happened to the United States of America because of the fact that the government put in the labor unions, and also the labor board, the Department of Labor. And they hiked up the price of labor so much because they are deliberately breaking the United States that we cannot manufacture goods here in the United States for as cheap as people in Japan or China. They pay those people a dollar a day, and they might even be paying them a dollar an hour, or we'd have to pay someone $10, $15, $20, $25 an hour. And so we can't compete with the Chinese making clothes. And this is all caused by the labor unions and the Department of Labor, which the Vatican has put into this country to deliberately break it. And so all the manufacturers now have moved out of the United States and opened up where you can, in countries that you can pay a dollar an hour or a dollar a day or a bowl of rice in a dollar. And so when the merchants here, like the malls, they're going to buy from the Chinese because the price is like one-tenth, in many cases, of what they'd have to pay for something made in America. And that is one of the things that the Lord wanted me to tell. I've been saying that for ever since I've been writing literature and ever since I've been saved. Everybody can see, just for a person pushing a broom in a factory, they have to pay them, in some cases, $20 an hour. Where in Japan, they get very small amounts of money, and in China especially, and in over in Mexico, a lot of stuff is being manufactured there, and so this country is bankrupt now. Because if you don't pay people and give them all kinds of fringe benefits and everything, why, you'll go to prison. And so they have deliberately done this to the people of the United States of America, and the people are so ignorant to what's going on that they don't realize all these things that they're buying in the stores are made in Mexico and China, Taiwan, all these different oriental countries, and even in India, in places like that where labor is dirt cheap. How can we compete with those kind of people that are being paid next to nothing for their labor? Those are the true slave labor camps, and over here everybody's going out of business, and there's no possible way that this country can exist unless the people of the United States come to the realization, unless they wake up and demand that the labor unions relax, and also the Department of Labor. This is why Raymond A. Donovan, who was the head of the Department of Labor back in 82, brought a lawsuit against our church, because they wanted us. We're collecting hippies off the streets. We're winning their souls. And then they want, and we're building homes for them and feeding them and clothing them and housing them and paying their utilities and everything, and they still, the Department of Labor said that we had to, because they were standing watch, or they were out at the hog farm that they wanted, and we bought I bought a hog farm for them because they wanted to work at the hog farm, and they wanted me to pay them a paycheck. Even people that just worked on our own automobiles, and women that took care of their own children. And they took me right into court just the minute Susie died. And so I had no time to mourn over her at all. And so read that last statement you just read there.
The lords of the Philistines, look at chapter 3, verse 3. 1,100 pieces of silver was an exorbitant amount of money.
Yeah, it used to be an exorbitant amount of money in the United States. Now, but we used to make at the American Health Studios in silhouette figure form $1.9 million a month back in the 60s. That's like almost $2 million. Today, that same amount of money is about $24 million. It's like everything's gone out of control. And, the people of this country are committing suicide. They're just becoming winos and drunks. Either that, or you'll move over to one of the these oriental countries and try to open up a business there and hire some of that cheap labor, or in Mexico or Latin, in either Central or South America. But there's no way that you can pay labor costs and all the fringe benefits that they're demanding that you pay to people just for doing menial labor here in the United States. There's no way that you're going to make it in business. And Walmart and Kmart and all these different companies are buying everything almost from China. When they're telling you this, their stuff is made in America, they're lying to you. I know who they're buying from. They're buying from Japan, all those Sony products, and Mitsubishi, and all the Chinese, everything is clothing. Almost all clothing is made there now. So the whole clothing industry in New York, Los Angeles, has collapsed. Nobody over there is manufacturing anymore. What they're doing is they're brokers. They buy the stuff from China and then they sell it to the stores here. And the stores are paying about one-tenth of what they ordinarily would pay if it was manufactured here in the United States. And so the manufacturers have, all the manufacturing companies have caved in. It's over with. Even the car, automobile companies. Right now, the Toyota is looking to buy General Motors in Detroit. I just heard it on the Bloomberg television just a few minutes ago. They're coming in wielding billions of dollars, and of course they're going to do it. And what they'll do is put their own Japanese labor in there with their cut labor costs, and that's why they're cutting. Then pretty soon, when they've taken over America, then they're going to raise the cost of all their automobiles and all their products, and then you'll really have it because you won't have a job anymore unless you're working for them. Okay, so this is the thing that the Lord said would happen in the last days, is Satan would just take over everything and everybody would be deceived. And you are deceived, people. But so the best thing, the only thing is left to do is to just come into the Lord, okay, and he'll support you, all right? As long as you do what he says. All right, then what?
16, verse 7. Seven fresh bowstrings. Bowstrings were made from the viscera of animals.
Okay, now let's go to the four new ones that I just wrote.
16, verse 5. The Philistines were ruled by five rulers, not just one. Each ruler ruled from a different city: Ashdod, Ashkelon, Ekron, Gath, or Gaza. Each of these cities was an important center for trade and commerce. Given Delilah's character, it is little wonder that she betrayed Samson when these rich and powerful men paid her a personal visit. Samson and Delilah. Samson was seduced by a Philistine woman named Delilah, who lived in the valley of Sorek. She betrayed the secret of his strength to the Philistines, who captured him and led him away in chains to Gaza. There he died. His relatives buried him between Zorah and Eshtaol. 16, verse 5. Samson was deceived because he wanted to believe Delilah's lies. Although he could strangle a lion...
That's just like the people of the United States and the world. They want to believe the lies of the Vatican, the One World Government, the New World Order, and they do not want to believe the things that the Lord says. And why? Because they don't want to fight. They don't want to establish the kingdom of heaven here on earth, as I said when we first opened up this message today. They don't want to carry the sword of the Lord, and they don't want to defend the gospel. They don't want to defend themselves. They don't want to defend their loved ones. As a matter of fact, they don't love the ones that they say they love, because if they did, they'd become saved so that their loved ones could be saved as well. And so there's no way that we can establish the kingdom of heaven on earth without defending it. We have to defend the kingdom of heaven here on earth. The people that are saved, we have to defend them. We have to support them. But there's just nobody. I know that when I went through my trial, there wasn't one Christian organization that came and stood up for me. And I have to call them deceived people, don't realize that they, too, are now they're going through it, some of them, unless they've joined the One World Antichrist cult, supposed to be church, the Vatican, which is the head of all these, the New World Order churches, or the One World Church, or the United Council of Churches, and the media, and the government. It's all the beast, the whore, and the false prophet. Anything that is prophesying falsehood, such as the television and radio stations, the media, the newspapers, and so on. They're all part of the same regime. It's controlled. The FCC, the Federal Communication Commission, is controlled by Rome. And there are several outlets there as well. Okay, so continue on here.
Although he could strangle a lion, he could not smother his burning lust and see Delilah for who she really was. How can you keep your desire for lust and sexual pleasure from deceiving you? 1. You must decide what kind of a person you will love before passion takes over.
Yeah, and you have to decide what kind of a person you're going to be. Are you going to be a person that wants to go to the kingdom of heaven? Or are you a person that wants to go into the pit of hell and then cast into the lake of fire? And if you die tonight, then wake up a second later and you're going to be right there. Okay? But then, first of all, you have to determine, what kind of a person do I want to marry? According to the Word of God, you must be married to a born-again Christian, somebody that really loves the Lord and wants to keep the commandments. You're going off in the deep end, and you're going to wind up in hell in the lake of fire anyway, because you're breaking God's commandments. Amen. It has to be somebody strong in the Lord. Then what?
Determine whether a person's character and faith in God are as desirable as his or her physical appearance.
Yeah, like the main desirable thing that I look for in a woman, the one I was in love with more than anybody in the world, was Susie, because she was 100% for the Lord. I could tell that she was totally sold out to him, and I was too, and it just made a perfect marriage. Perfect. He had no ups and downs for 17 years until she got cancer and she started getting very weak, and her nerves were gone, and then she decided she didn't want to win more souls to distribute literature anymore. And I don't know if that the chemotherapy affected her or what, but I just knew that she was going to die if she didn't. And so, whether she goes to, if she went to heaven or not, I'm going to serve the Lord. If the one I'm married to now, or my sons, my daughters, if they desire not to serve the Lord, I am not with them any longer. I'm with the Lord. People have to make up their mind who they're going to serve, and if they're going to just continue on to the end. Now, the Bible states that in the last days there's going to be a big falling away, and I see it. I see them falling away all over the place. I see people, even in my own church, that have fallen away. And so everyone that's in this church is not a strong Christian. Everyone that's in this church is not a witness for the Lord. And I don't believe there is a church anywhere that is any stronger than this church, but there are some that are selling their souls to Satan. Okay, continue on.
2, because most of the time you spend with your spouse will not involve sex, your companion's personality, temperance, and commitment to solve problems must be as gratifying as his or her kisses.
Yeah.
And 3,
kisses. Yeah, you've got to be able to get along with her. If she doesn't have a personality, forget her. Or if she goes up some days, she looks at you, narrowly some days, and the other days she's like smiles and all that kind of stuff. She's nothing. So that's not the kind of person I want to be married to. Okay, and then what else?
And 3, be patient. The second look often reveals what is beneath a person's appearance, and attentive touch.
Yeah, don't take the first, like I notice a lot of people that somebody smiles at them, they go completely crazy, or somebody even looks at them. There's one of the people that we were over at the farmer's market, and somebody looked at him, they just, this guy looked at me, my God, it was just, wonderful. They're just bragging about it to the hill, They just lose their soul. It's like Johnny Mathis sings, one fleeting glance can say so many lovely things. They just go completely berserk. Okay, then what?
16, verse 16 through 17. Delilah kept asking Samson for the secret of his strength until he finally grew tired of hearing her nagging and gave in. This was the second time that Samson allowed himself to be worn down by persistent nagging. 14, verse 17. What a pitiful excuse for disobedience.
Yeah, when was the first time?
With that first wife he was going
to
marry.
Kept wanting to know what his riddle was.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Where the honey was inside the lion. Amen.
Yeah.
And he wore down, told her, and she went and ratted him out. Okay, then what?
Don't allow anyone, no matter how attractive or persuasive, to talk you into doing wrong. 16 verse 19. Delilah was a deceitful woman with honey on her lips and poison in her heart. Cold and calculating, she toyed with Samson, pretending to love him while looking for personal gain. How could Samson be so foolish? Four times Delilah took advantage of him. If he didn't realize what was happening after the first or second experience, surely he should have understood the situation by the fourth time. We think Samson is foolish, but how many times do we allow ourselves to be deceived by flattery and give in to temptation and wrong beliefs? Avoid falling prey to deceit by asking God to help you distinguish between deception and truth. 16 verse 21. Samson the mighty warrior became a slave. Rather than kill him, the Philistines preferred to humiliate him by gouging out his eyes and making him grind grain. Samson now had plenty of time to wonder if Delilah's charms were worth spending the rest of his life in humiliation. Although God did not completely abandon Samson, 16 verse 28 through 30, he allowed Samson's decision to stand, and the consequences of his decision followed naturally. We may choose to be close to God or to go our own way, but there are consequences resulting from our choice. Samson didn't choose to be captured, but he chose to be with Delilah, and he could not escape the consequences of his choice, his decision. 16 verse 21. Blinded and without strength, Samson was taken to Gaza, where he would spend the rest of his short life. Gaza was one of the five capital cities of the Philistines. Known for its many wells, Gaza was a vital stop along a great caravan route that connected Egypt to the south with Aram to the north. Philistines probably showed off their prize captive, Samson, to many dignitaries passing through. Ironically, it was Gaza that Samson had earlier demonstrated his great strength up by uprooting the city gates. 16 verse 1 through 3. Now he was an example of weakness. 16 verse 23 through 24. Dagon was the chief god of the Philistines, the god of grain and harvest. Many temples were built to Dagon, and the worship there included human sacrifice. The temples were also the local entertainment centers. Just as people today crowd into ballparks and theaters, Philistine townspeople crowded into the local temple in that area, in their arena. They sat on the flat temple roof and looked into the courtyard below. What they often saw was the torture and humiliation of prisoners. Since the Philistines had control over the Israelites, they thought their God was stronger. But when the Ark of God was placed before Dagon in a similar temple, the idol fell over and broke into pieces. 1 Samuel 5 verse 1 through 7. God's strength goes beyond numbers or physical might. 16 verse 28 through 30. In spite of Samson's past, God still answered his prayer and destroyed the pagan temple and worshipers. God still loved him. He was willing to hear Samson's prayer of confession and repentance and use him this final time. One of the effects of sin in our lives is to keep us from feeling like praying. But perfect moral behavior is not a condition for prayer. Don't let guilt feelings over sin keep you from trying to get back to the Lord, because it's your only means of restoration. Perhaps the Lord will restore you. No matter how long you've been away from God, if you really mean business with Him, He is ready to hear from you and restore you to a right relationship. Every situation can be salvaged if you're willing to turn again to Him completely. If you've chosen to live a life of sin, there will be no hope for you whatsoever. or if you continue to sin and repent and sin and repent, then you're finished. God could still work in Samson's situation and in David's situation. Don't get it wrong. These people did not have the Spirit of God living in them. Now he could certainly make something worthwhile if you lived according to the Spirit out of your life. But don't try to judge yourself by Samson or David, because the Lord won't buy that kind of an argument.
Praise the Lord. And I'm just so happy. Peter, our piano player here, his father just died. Peter Lehman. And he told me that he had been witnessing to him and telling him, and he got some of the recent tapes that I just did just before he died, and he read several of the tracks, and he was agreeing with them. And when Peter called me this morning, earlier yesterday morning, and told me that his father had died, I immediately went up to the throne to ask the Lord if he'd made it into the kingdom of heaven, and the Lord said, yes, he did. And Peter was extremely overjoyed with that. Of course, as anybody would. Amen?
Amen.
And praise the Lord. I just give God the thanks and praise. But, you know, without the literature, the Lord said, if without that literature, we're going to be destroyed if we don't get it out. And if we do get it out, we won't be destroyed. And the tapes are the same way. God instructs me to do certain things, and I do it, and I see the results that people got saved just before they went out into the kingdom of heaven. And it's then you see the devil getting into different people around you. You see him giving you dirty looks and snide looks, and people start throwing blocks to you here and there, and so on and so forth. But I just thank and praise the Lord that he gave me the power, the strength to be able to endure that sort of thing and put people like that in their places, because they need to be put in their places. And that's another thing that the people that are supposed to be of the Lord don't believe, that the pastor needs to reprove, to rebuke, and to tell them why. And a lot of people say, well, they get very angry when you reprove them, and those people are going to be in the lake of fire. They just can't stand it. Then they make up lies and say, that really wasn't what I was doing. This isn't what I was doing. That isn't true. In other words, like a pastor that's winning millions of souls to the Lord is false, and they are true. Amen. Isn't that silly? It's stupid. You know, satanic. Well, anyway, I praise the Lord for this message today. And next, until we get to chapter 17... of Judges, keep praying, continue in prayer, meditate on all these things, and give all the glory to the Lord. And so meditate on him and thank and praise him for eternal life. And when you do, the joy of the Lord will come down upon you, and the joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen.
Amen.
So till chapter 17, God bless you and praise the Lord.